in the parking lot listening also. But I hope you've had a good week. I've had a good week. It's good. There's a secret. You don't have to just come here and listen to the preaching on Sunday. You can listen to it other days of the week, and it's good when you do that, just if you check that out. So I've listened to several sermons by Tony Evans. I don't know. He's a pastor out of Dallas. And you know what? The Lord will really, really tell you something if you go looking for it. And I encourage you not to just wait today to be looking. You need to be looking every day for what the Lord's got in store for you. So a couple announcements this morning. Let's see here. We missed our goal with the Annie Armstrong. So we usually take up any donations through the end of this month. But we only missed it by $69. So that's not too bad. We did cover it as a church, but we are still taking any of those donations that you want to put in the offering through the end of the month. And then also, too, Tammy's going to make an announcement about WOM, so I'm going to bypass that one here. So, and then also, too, Awana closing ceremony will be on May the 15th, and the baccalaureate service will be at 2 p.m. on the 22nd of May. So, Tammy, you want to do that, and then we'll go to prayer and then get started.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
In your bulletin, there's a little blurb about our ladies' night out. I want to expand on that just a little bit. WOM is hosting a ladies' night out on May 6th at 6 o'clock. It's for all of our ladies in church. We encourage you to invite any other important ladies, sisters in your life, such as daughter, mother, granddaughter, niece. You know the ladies in your life. Bring them with you, because it will be a night of getting to reconnect. We thought it would be fun to have everyone come dressed as they did in high school. I still do that every day, so it's not a big deal for me. But, you know, if you had the big hair, the blue eyeshadow, whatever it might be, or even the poodle skirt, bring it. If you didn't and you want to forget those memories, that's fine too. I get it. All right. There will be a potluck, so bring food. Pictures. We know how we love pictures. You know, some of us don't have them digitally. You know, we can whip them out. So you might have to hunt for them. But even your high school yearbooks, those would be fun. So we can share memories and things, and, you know, let some of our younger folks know that we were cool once. So, but it's going to be a night of just fun. It's going to be, I don't know what I was planning. So I'm just a spokesperson today. But it sounds like it's going to be a great time. There is, of course, a sign-up sheet on our famous table. But I just want to let you all know something. Wayne and I got humbled this week. We attended an event over at First Baptist Church in Kingsport. Wayne and I make fun of our famous table out in the foyer, and obviously that's a Baptist church thing, because they had a sign-up sheet at the end of that event in the foyer on their table. So they're very important. I think they're as important as the pulpit. So anyway, at least for work. So, but ladies, please plan to attend. It's going to be fun, and sounds like a lot of laughter.
Thank you, Tim. That's about like saying you got to bring food to a Baptist get-together, right? Everybody just assumes you got to bring something. All right, well, I realized yesterday that I've turned into my father. I was walking through the store saying, that used to be $20, that used to be $15, that used to be $1, that used to be $5. I can remember when that was $9, so it happens at 50. Just for those of you that haven't made it to 50 yet, that's when it transpired with me anyway. Things have changed, but there's one person and one individual that never changes. And thank God that he doesn't change. He's always there. He will always give you peace. When you seek it from him, it may not be as you want it, but he will give you peace if you'll just listen to him. So with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask him to bless our service this morning, and then we'll get started. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can be here, Lord. And so many times we do come in here stressed and worried about what we're going to do this afternoon, or if we forgot to turn the oven off, or if we forgot to get gas. Well, hopefully we can get home after service, Lord. But we just ask you to remove all that this morning, because we're here to worship you, Lord, because that's what you deserve. And we're so grateful that you've given us this past week, Lord, of your protection and your guidance, Lord. And we do thank you for every church that you have called, Lord, to preach your word, whether it's here or in Knoxville or Richmond or wherever that is, Lord, throughout this world, Lord, in China, in Europe, that there's somebody willing to stand, Lord. And though we do look at this world sometimes and wonder how much more can go on and how much more we can see can change, Lord, we are, again, just grateful that we can bow before you and just think that you are the most consistent thing in our lives, Lord, and we're so thankful for that. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, that he came and gave his life, Lord, and as we celebrated on Easter, that he arose. Hallelujah, Lord, and thank you for that. That we can just look to see what he did for us, Lord, as individuals. And we just thank you for that love, Lord. And again, we just ask you to be with us this morning, just to quieten our hearts and let us just truly worship you this morning in spirit, Lord, and that all be done for your glory here, Lord, and that we can leave this building this morning and say it's good to be in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name and for his sake we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Your all's turn to sing. Let's stand and sing number 249, Glorify Thy Name. Thank you. This is the season, you know, where we have the crucifixion, and this particular song has got so much meaning, but I just love it. So.
Amen.
Singing this morning. God bless you. This morning we'll be in the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and then we'll be looking back at a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you want to put your finger there, it'll be towards the end of the sermon this morning, or the message. I don't like a sermon. We came here for a message from God, and if we aren't getting the message from God, then we don't need the words. But again, we'll be in Philippians chapter 4. It's good to see all of you today. I'm so thankful that God gave us another day to live and to serve Him and to enjoy His blessings. Hadn't it been beautiful the past few days? And loving that mid-80s weather that's coming in here. And Lord willing, we're through with all the winters, whatever y'all want to call them. Red bud, blue bud, blackberry. Nope, we've done through them all. Amen. We're through them all. No, it is good to be in church with you. And if you're watching by Facebook or if you're listening on the radio, we want you to know that we are thankful that you're here with us today. And don't believe in chance or accident. It's not by chance that you're listening or watching or here with us. But God has brought us here together for a purpose. And if you don't know, I want you to know that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him, he'll do even greater things than you could ever imagine. Amen? Do we have any words of praise or testimony this morning before we go any further? Philippians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Any words of praise or testimony? Amen. Amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Thank you, sister. Anyone else? To be honest with you, as you're turning to Philippians chapter 4, I had a mindset as the week began, and I thought I had a specific outline from this passage that I feel like the Lord wanted, but as I began to prepare, God led me in a different direction. But I still think that I'm the other one that the Lord gave me, I'm supposed to preach. So we'll probably be from the same passage next week. And if I had a title for this morning's message, it would be Living in God's Peace. Living in God's Peace. And next week will be entitled Living in God's Peace as well. But this week, I want us to focus on the battle for God's peace. The battle for God's peace. And then next week we'll look at the steps into God's peace. And I think it will become clear to you as we go on and the study guide there. But is there any more praise or testimony this morning? All right, I'm going to ask you if you would to stand with me in honor of God's Word, and we'll read there in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, reading through verse 9. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudesus and beseech Synti that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fella, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the Lamb's book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Again, if we had a title, it would be Living in God's Peace, the Battle for Peace. Living in God's peace, the battle for peace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you this morning. And Lord, first off, I just confess to you my sins and my flaws and my failures, Lord, knowing that, God, there is nothing that I can give today that can affect or change the lives of the people that are listening. But Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful today that you said that your word will never go void. God, I pray today that your word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will flow freely in this place, that it'll go over the airwaves, it'll move through the digital or whatever the computer is, and God, that in all things that we will be touched by the truth of God, we will be encouraged by the truth of God, and we'll be empowered by the truth of God. And God, today I pray over the next few minutes that you just let us be focused on your word. Let us be focused on what you're trying to say to us. And God, I come to you this morning with expectation. I don't know what you're wanting to do with this message in the heart of us that's here today. But God, I believe with all that I am that you're wanting to move in our lives. And so God, today I say thank you for what you're going to do. And I thank you for what you've already done. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. I want to read that the passage again, 1 through 9. But I want to read it out of the Christian Standard. So then, my dearly beloved and longed for brothers and sisters, my joy and my crown, in this manner, stand firm in the Lord, my dear friends. I urge Eudesis and Syntac to agree in the Lord. Yes, I also ask you, true partner, to help these women who have contended for the gospel at my side, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petitions, with thanksgiving, make known your request of God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, my brothers and sisters, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is commendable, if there be any moral excellence, if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard of me, and the God of peace will be with you. And then I want to read over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 4. Since the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but they are powerful through God for the demolishing of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to obey Christ. And may God add the blessings to the reading of His Scriptures today. So we want to talk today about living in God's peace, but the battle that we wage, or that does rage, every day. Over my lifetime, I've been in family reunions and what we used to call dinner on the grounds around the church, and when you just haven't eaten. And usually there'll be children running around. They may be playing tag. They could be playing dodgeball. They could be just running willy-nilly and screaming and all that. But it never fails. And like Frank said, he's turning into his daddy. I'm turning into the older men. And that would say something like this. They'd say, if only I had the energy that they had. Amen? And then it's followed by this. Man, if I could bottle that up and sell it, I'd be a millionaire. You ever heard that? Exactly. Now today, here's the thing. If I could bottle peace, if I could somehow, see, that's how pharmaceuticals are making up honey hand over fist, trying to find peace. Today we live in a society of chaos, things all around us. But what is peace? Do you know that in the Old Testament, the word, the Hebrew word shalom, is used 318 times in the New Testament, or in the Old Testament? It means to be complete, harmony, a state of well-being, freedom from worry. And then the Greek, irene, in the New Testament, is used 111 times in the King James Version, and it means to be in harmony, tranquility, with freedom from worry. And then the basic biblical definition of peace would be this: to be completely sound with our Creator and in harmony with those around us. A state in which one's basic welfare is in harmony with God as well as others, which provides freedom from worry with overall tranquility. How many of you today would say you want peace of God in your life? Say amen. Amen. And as we look at this passage, and as we look at this scripture, verses 1 through 9, the word peace, or irene, is only used twice there in verse 7. And it says, and this is one verse that we quote a lot, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then the passage wraps up in 4:9, Philippians 4:9. It says, do what you have learned, received, and heard of me, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, we've got to recognize, and this is why next week we're going to look at the steps of into peace, is that this whole passage from verse 1 to verse 9, even though it's only the word peace is only used twice, the whole passage there is Paul talking about the peace of God and how that the peace of God is available, not only to those that were reading it back then, but the peace of God is available to whosoever today. Praise God. And when we, if we, I think that's a part of the abundant living. Remember, we've talked about it. The peace of God. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to be a display or an example of His peace out in this world, because in the world in which we live, there is no peace. Daily reports of violence in America's streets and on America's streets and in our schools. Wars and rumors of wars all around us. Political leaders that are at odds with one another, and neither side knows how to solve any problem. Laws being passed that are directly against God, that also enslaves the population. Many people can't vote a certain way because if they do, they'll lose the benefits that they've become so accustomed to. A society that literally does not know the difference between male and female. We live in a world where the life of a silverback gorilla is worth more than the baby in a mother's womb. See, we are living in chaos. When's the last time you sat down and watched the news and walked away having peace or feeling better before? No, you see, everything around us is built up to rob us of our joy, to rob us of our peace, to make our stomach stay queasy all the time so that we get ulcers and that we have issues and we just can't rest of a night. You see, it's simple. Man, if I could bottle energy, I'd be as rich as Elon Musk and Bill Gates. But man, if I could bottle peace, I would go well beyond them. And I could be the richest person in the world. To be completely sound with our Creator and those around us. A state in which one's basic welfare is in harmony with God, providing the freedom from worry with an overall sense of tranquility. Here's the thing, and the world's trying to. People are trying to buy peace. We're trying to medicate ourselves with peace. But the Bible makes it clear that we can't buy it. We can't purchase it. We can't will and deal to get it. For it is only God that can supply peace. But the Bible makes it clear today that true peace is available and that God wants you to have it today. Isaiah 53:5, but He was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was upon Him, and we were healed by His wounds. Now, I know that the prophecy there in Isaiah 53:5, it specifically points to us having peace with our Creator. Because today, if you're not saved, the Bible teaches this, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that you are an enemy of God. That's not what I say, that's what the Word of God says. You're either of your father the devil, or you're either saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember, we've talked about there's only two ways. There's only two destinations. Praise God. Christ Jesus does not want you to live in fear. He doesn't want you to have to live with anxiety. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 27. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a stable or a sensible mind. But you know what today? You've got to be willing to receive the peace. And we don't receive God's peace on our own conditions. We don't dictate to God how to get our peace or where. Matter of fact, it's the opposite of it. God tells us where His peace is located. And He tells us how that we can find true peace. And that is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. To be completely sound with our Creator and those around us, a state in which one's basic welfare is in harmony with God providing the freedom from worry with overall sense and tranquility. But you know, when we don't have peace, it doesn't just mean that we're fearful. You know, there's many things that rob us of our peace. Resentment, being mad with somebody, being angry with somebody, that'll take you away your peace, because you'll lay there and you'll be, one day they're going to get, God goes around, comes around, and they're going to get what they deserve. What about anger when you're mad with somebody? I can tell you this, if I'm mad at Amy or she's mad at me, there's tension in our house. You know, you can feel it. Maddie and Talmadge, they'll go on into their room when they get home because they can feel it. What about jealousy? When you're jealous of what somebody else has and you think, why? I deserve that. You know what? You're not living in peace. What about unforgiveness? Not willing to say, I forgive you. And you know what? Many people don't give a rip that you won't forgive them. They don't think nothing else about us. Really, what it's doing is robbing us. Unforgiveness is robbing us of our peace, our calm. And there's so much more that flow in and out of our daily lives that try to rob us of our peace. But as I was reading and I was studying, like I said, I've got about 5 points for next week's service already written down. But I began to read Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and it stood out to me, and notice what it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." If we want to live with the peace of God in our life, the first things that we've got to recognize are the enemies of our peace. The enemies of our peace. The first thing that we look at, what's the first enemy of our peace? The first enemy is our own flesh. The first enemy of the peace of God being in our life is our own flesh. Romans 8, verse 7 says, "For the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit itself to God's law, for it is unstable." Romans chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, it says, "So I discover this principle. When I want to do good, evil is with me. For in my inner self, I joyfully agree with God's law. But I see in my different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the inner parts of my body." Now, what do we see? We've talked about it before, but today, if you're a believer, we're still trapped in sinful flesh. We won't get rid of this body until God either raptures us out of here, or either He calls us up from the grave and restores with us a new body. And hallelujah, that day's looking better and better the older I get. But there is a civil war that rages inside of us every day. There's the Spirit of God that was breathed into us on the day that we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Better yet, the day that we surrendered to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But at the same time, there is that carnal or fleshly mind. And you know what? It enjoys being angry with somebody. It enjoys claiming our own individual rights. It enjoys saying, I've got rights and I can't wait to see them fall. And all day long, there's that battle, that fight. That's why it says, I am crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. You see, today we must recognize that our flesh is doing all it can to rob us of our peace. Do you know what? You can be laying in bed and be about to go to sleep, and what will happen? You'll think about what happened in the office yesterday and how they did you wrong. You'll be in the car worshiping and you'll be driving and somebody will swing in there and cut you off and almost cause an accident and make you say a cuss word. You see, the flesh is always fighting. And if we're allowing the flesh to take precedence in our life, meaning that we're allowing it to overcome the person of the Holy Spirit, if we're submitting to what feels good, what we like, and what we want, instead of what God wants for us, then guess what? There's no hope of us having any peace. There's not. If we're living in the flesh, then we're not expecting for God to give us peace. I want to tell you this. God has done a work, and lately in every service, I'm expecting for God to do something. And you know what? If you're expecting to have the peace of God and to abide in the peace of God, then you must acknowledge that there is a strong enemy that is linked to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that we have no power to overcome that enemy of the flesh. The second enemy to our peace is the world. You could say that it's the society or the culture in which we live. Think about it. COVID-19, finances, inflation, wars, rumors of wars, all these things that surround us. Man, it makes me uptight. It literally makes my chest tight sometimes when you've got it all going around. James chapter 4 verse 4 says, "You adulterers, don't you know that a friendship with this world is hostility towards God? So whosoever wants to be the world's friend becomes God's enemy." The world hates Jesus Christ, and according to Jesus, He said that the world will hate us if we live for Christ. John 15, 18, "If the world hates you, understand that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. However, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, and the world hates you." Can I simply say this today? The more world you have in your life, the less peace you're going to have in your life. I mean, think about it. Pandemics, hatred, division, riots, finances, wars, everything about the culture in which we live does its best to make us worry. When is the last time that some worldly news came that actually made you happy and made you feel good? You see, we can't find peace in this world. Matter, you know why? Because we are not of this world. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we are just visitors here, and that my name is on a ledger for another kingdom and another world. And I shouldn't feel comforted in this world. I shouldn't feel peace given to me by this world. The only place as a son of God that I can find peace is from my God and for His sacrifice that was made for me. So we see the enemies of peace in our lives are the flesh, the world, and then the third enemy is Satan. But I think we give him a lot of credit. Satan, the devil, he's a liar, he's a thief. As it says in John 10:10, he comes every day trying to steal you of your joy, trying to rob you of your peace, trying to kill your testimony. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." I want you to know this today. Satan hates you. Matter of fact, he hates all humanity. Why? Because we are made in the image of God. And he hates God. He wants to do his best to make the people of God fall. Hallelujah today. And he will do his best to rob us of our peace. He'll put things in our path. But I listed these in order of the ones we need. Number one enemy we face is the flesh. Every day it's always with. Number two is the world, because we live in it. Number three is Satan. And like I said, he wants to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. But as I was preparing this morning, the Spirit spoke to me and said, "What makes you think you're important enough that Satan is worried about you?" He took me over to the book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 15, where there were some Jewish leaders tried to cast out a demon in Jesus' name, though they did not have any faith in Jesus. And the demon within that person looked back and said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" And I'm going, hey, God made me. What have I done to make myself one of the most wanted on the devil's list. You know what? That'd be arrogant. And I think sometimes we say the devil did it. No, praise God. I don't think we've reached the point. Now, he might start sending his demons and we face demonic forces that come to us. But we need to learn how to deal with the flesh and the world before we face the battle with the enemy. But you see, those three things, our flesh, the world, and our enemy, they are the enemies of our peace, and they'll do whatever they can to rob us of our peace. So as we consider living in the peace of God, we must recognize that there are enemies. G.I. Joe said, and no one is half the battle. Hallelujah. If you know who's coming against you, then praise God, you can fight better against the enemy that's coming towards you. But then the next thing is this, the battlefields for peace. I have read Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 all my life. Literally, I mean, when Daddy had his triple bypass, he run everybody out of the room, but we read through the book of Philippians over and over and over and over again. But I was reading this, and this is where God kind of led me off the one I wanted to preach. But in 7 it says, Philippians 4, 7 it says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Notice that the peace of God is directly involved with two specific areas in our life. And these are the battlefields for peace. The first one is our heart. Notice he says, the peace of God will do what? Guard your heart and your mind. Well, what is our hearts? Is it that organ going in your chest right now? Is that the literal interpretation? No. What it means is our emotional center, our character, which is separate from our intellect. Emotions are strong and they're able to control you. Do you know this, that most people in this world today are controlled by their emotions? They do what feels good. They do what they want. They do what they don't want to do. All those things. We are living in a society that is led by their emotions and their flesh. If it feels good, do it. Think about it. Anger. What will anger do? If you let anger get a hold of you and control your life, then what are you going to do? You're going to yell, you're going to fuss, you're going to cuss, you're going to stomp, you're going to snort and stick your lip out. You're being dictated. The way you're living is being dictated by your anger in that moment, right? Think about love, or really lust. It'll cause you to leave things behind. It'll cause you to spend money that you wouldn't be willing to spend anywhere else. It puts a desire in you. Sometimes, because of it, you'll do things that you would have never imagined you'd do. People who had good marriages, because of lust they had for some, they walk away from their spouse. They walk away from their home. Why? Because they're being led by their hearts. Excitement, man, it'll cause you to lose sleep, won't it? I'll get up, we're going to go on a trip, and I'll be looking forward to it. I'll sit up half the night, maybe get an hour of sleep, and I get up early just to be ready to go. Fear. Fear will make you lock your doors when there's really nothing out there to get you. Fear will make you leave the light on in the middle of the night. Nervous. It'll make you physically sick. It'll make your hands shake. Make sweat come off your brow. You see, many today do not have the peace of God because they don't guard their hearts. They're letting emotions run them instead of letting Jesus Christ guard our hearts and our minds. We let our hearts and our emotions run. But here's the thing. Listen, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful. More deceitful than anything else, and incurable. Who can understand it? Mark chapter 7, verse 20 and following. Then he said, what comes out of a person, that defiles him. From without the people's heart come evil thoughts, sexual immorality,
thefts, murders, adulteries, greed, evil actions, deceit, promiscuity, stinginess, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within. They come from the heart, and it defiles us. Do you see what he's saying there? He's saying when you're led by your heart, when you let emotions rule you, you will not have my peace in your life. Then what else does he say? He says not only is the battleground your heart or your emotional center, but number two, he says, oh, Proverbs, what does it say? You remember Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5? Trust in the Lord with all your what? Heart. And lean not to your own understanding. Think about how biblical leaders, biblical heroes were led astray by emotion. Simon Peter. Fear drove him away from Jesus at Jesus Christ's lowest moment. What about King David, a man after God's own heart? He had an ungodly relationship with Bathsheba that drove him to killing Uriah, her husband. Emotions. What about Jonah? Jonah ended up in the belly of a whale. Why? Because he hated the Ninevites. All of that's emotion. Driven by emotion. So today, we know the enemies, our flesh, the world, and Satan. Amen. Now, hallelujah, God shows us the battlegrounds where we need to fight. One is in our heart or the place of emotion. Two is where? The mind. The mind. The mind is different from the heart. Amen. The heart is emotions. The heart is flutter and how we feel, but the mind is the way we think, the way we plan, the psychological reasoning, the content of our thinking. The way that we reason is a major theme, or the way that we think is a major theme of the Apostle Paul here in the letter of Philippians. Three times specifically, he says, be careful about the way you're thinking. Be careful with how your mind is functioning. The first is there, Philippians 2, verse 2. It says, fulfill my joy. Think the same way. Have the same love. Share the same feelings. Focus. Notice, he deals with the mind and the emotion in that passage. Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:15. Therefore, all who are mature should think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal it to you. Listen to what the Scripture says about godly thinking compared to human thinking. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, because God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. You want me to show you just how different a godly mind is from a worldly mind? And we talked about it last week. They're paving the road. They got a good looking over there on Dry Creek. But God sees gold as paving material. We see it as something to lust after and to put up and all of that. You see, what does it say over in the book of Romans chapter 1? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your emotions? No, by the renewing of your mind. You see, that's why it's important we stay in the Word, because it changes the way we think. And not only does it may not change the way we think, but it'll show us the stinking in our thinking. It'll show us that. So let me ask you today, as we talk about living in peace and the battle for peace, are you willing to fight to have your peace? Jesus says it's there. But we've got to know that our flesh is coming after it. The world is coming after it. And Satan's coming after it. And you know where he's coming after it at? He's going to come after in our heart, our emotions. And he's coming in our minds the way we think. So let me ask you today. Who is in control of your mind? Who is in control of your heart? Then closing, winning the battle against peace, for peace. Winning the battle for peace. Look there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Since the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but are powerful through God for the demolishing of strongholds, we demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that rises up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to obey Christ. Now, a stronghold is, military terms, is a place that someone is taking hold of. They've built kind of a fort there, and it's a place of strength and power. And you know what? Many of us, we allow the flesh to take control of our emotions, and we allow the flesh to take control of the way we think. So those are places that the flesh have strongholds in our emotions. When they're up, we're up. When they're down, we're down. No, we don't have to be ruled by our emotions, because we can tear down those strongholds in the name of Jesus today. And you know what else? That the power of Jesus Christ is there available to us at any time for us to tear them down. And Jesus knows what it is to have emotions. You know that? What did he pray in the garden? Lord, I don't want to drink this cup. I don't feel like drinking this cup. But nevertheless, thy will be done. You see, what did he do? He let God's truth override his emotions. And when we get mature in Christ Jesus, we'll allow the same to happen in our lives. Notice, the first thing, if we're going to win the battle on a daily basis, is we must submit to the Holy Ghost. Daily. Maybe multiple times daily. We surrender and say like Jesus did in the garden, not my will, but you dictate the way that I live. Galatians 5:25-26. Since we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. We must not become conceited, provoking one another with envy towards one another. And then the second thing is that we must surrender to the truth of Scripture daily. The truth of Scripture daily. John 6:63. The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh does not help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit. The words that I have spoken, they are life. So let's see. Do you want to live in the peace of God? Amen. I believe everybody in here, and not even, maybe even if you ain't saved, you still want the peace of God. Then there is a battle that we've got to be willing to engage in for the peace of God to be in our life. The main is against our own flesh. Now there is the world and there is the enemy, but with our flesh, how do we battle? Well, one, we let the Holy Spirit live within us. And number two, we let the Word of God guide us. Not with the way we feel, not with carnal understanding, not thinking like the world, but doing our best to know the truth and allowing the truth to set us free by living it in our lives. Think about this. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He lived 33 years without ever breaking any of the law of God, the Ten Commandments. He suffered and died for the punishment of the world. He died, and then 3 days later, he came back to life. Then he went back up to heaven where he sits at the right hand of the Father, but he's also building me a home with Him so that for an eternity I can live for Him. Let me ask you that. By the way of human rational and thinking, does that make sense? Huh? No. No. You might as well believe it's Superman, is what the world will tell us. But see, the faith that's saved is not rational to human minds. That's the difference. And you see, that's the way we have to be when it comes to the truth of God. There's days I don't feel saved. But you know what I do? I walk through the Romans Road again. And then my feelings, they don't match with the truth. Think about this. I know who I am, all of my sins, all my shortcomings, all my failures. Things that I would never confess to, nor would I want anybody else to know. That I've rebelled against God and done my own for my own wants and my own desires. But yet He still loves me enough to die for me. He loves me so much today that He wants to save. And the same is true for you. He loves me and He loves you. Now you know what? Not every day do I feel like God loves me. And most of it's because my flesh beats me up and it tells me how unworthy I am. And how dirty I am. How despicable I am. But you know what? The flesh is a liar. And I don't have to trust my heart. I don't have to trust my emotions. I can trust the Word of God. And today, I feel like somebody needs to rededicate their life. Or you need to come know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the flesh is telling you you're sorry. You failed before. Why you think you'll do any better this time? Others are saying you've done so bad that He would never save you. That's a lie direct from the pits of hell. And it is Satan in your flesh fighting to try to rob you of your peace, but also rob you of your freedom in Christ Jesus. So as our piano player and our song leader come, I want to ask you this today. Christian, who is in control of your mind and of your heart? Are you allowing the Spirit and the Word of God to guide you, or are you letting your own fleshly desires and your own way of thinking dictate the way you live? Some in here today, maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But the Bible says that He's as close to you today as just a word. If you'll just simply ask the Lord, say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've broken your law and I deserve punishment. But I believe what the Bible says. I'm not going by a feeling and I'm not going by what the natural mind tells me. But I believe You rose up on the third day, and today I can be saved because of You. Will You come today and do that?" Maybe you need to nail it down. Next thing is this. Maybe it's time for you to join Thomas Village Baptist Church. Or maybe you just want to come and pray on the altar. But this is the awesome truth today. The peace of God is readily available. And not only is peace, but salvation and eternal life is all found at the same place. And that is in Jesus' name. Stand with me as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Altar is open. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your mercy, for Your grace and Your goodness. And I believe today, God, that You're moving in the hearts and minds of people. People that are hungry for peace. People that are hungry for joy. Heavenly Father, Lord, You're fighting the battle with us. So today, whatever the need is, I pray that we'll leave here with the peace of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Won't you come this morning? Maybe you need to join. Maybe you just want somebody to pray with you. Whatever your need is. Amen. I pray that the Lord has spoken to you today and that you'll live in the peace of God in this week in a way that you never imagined that you could. Anybody got any words of testimony, praise before we go? Don't forget to come back tonight, Awana at 5, regular service at 6. We'll probably be beginning our study in the book of Ephesians. One of the scholars I read behind said that Ephesians is the crown of Paul's writing in the New Testament or the letters to the churches. I disagree. I think Philippians is the pinnacle. But, hey, the Lord uses it in different ways. Any words before we close out this morning? Brother J.C., would you close us out in a word of prayer?
Let us pray. Dear Lord, our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for another service. Thank you for letting us be able to open our eyes and see what glory you've given us today, Lord. Thank you for the many blessings. Thank you most of all for your Son. Lord, we ask you to go with us as we leave and let us come back at the next appointed time. I ask you to be with our pastor and be with his family, be with each and every person here. We love you and we appreciate you and we love you so much. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.